Welcome to Common Ground. I'm your host, Patrick Casale. Tonight's show will be a little interesting. We're excited. We're going to talk about sports. And it should be very interesting. I think we're going to cover a lot of grounds because of COVID and everything. A lot of people are saying, oh, we shouldn't play high school and professional. It'll be interesting. We have a lot of information. The NFL, not all the teams are shutting down for the year. Some teams are shutting down for the month of September, the first two games at home. The Las Vegas Raiders may be the only team not playing a home game this year with an attendance. I'm not positive about that. I finally got up a site that I can open with no problem. But this should be an interesting season. And right now, in the United States of America, with all the political crap, and I mean crap, up to our nose, how important is it to play America's games? Baseball, football, basketball, hockey. Although hockey would not necessarily be like apple pie and Chevrolet, but how important is it? And when you look at the NBA, the ratings are staggering. They're not doing very well. MLB's down somewhat. And maybe those games are because they're playing in big arenas. More people need to be there. Although the NBA and hockey are similar. But what about football? What's it going to be like to see college and NFL games without fans? Now, the college football season just kicked off. Next week, the NFL kicks off. Sports is very important to so many people. Not everybody, but so many. Welcome to Common Ground. And my good friend, Dean. How are you, Dean? How are you,
Mr. Schuller? How you doing?
Pretty good. I mean, this to me is a really interesting topic considering I watched a little bit of that college game today. And, you know, it wasn't as electrifying without football fans, I kind of tell you. It was kind of boring.
You know, part of sports is fans. I mean, that's just the way it is. It's a huge part of the game for the most part. Although, I have been watching the Vegas Golden Knights on TV.
I watched them last night.
And it's still interesting. I still like it. I've always been a hockey fan. I never played hockey as a kid, although I knew people that did. But it just wasn't a sport I ever got into, even though I grew up in New England. And but I've always been a hockey fan. So you know, it was fun. I mean, but nothing can compare to being, especially at a Knights game, where you know, being at the Fortress is an experience like no other place, really.
But you know, Dean, I got to say this about the NHL, and I mean this with all whoever came up with the plugging in the audience, crowd cheers, and all that. They're doing a phenomenal job keeping you interested in the games. And the games, right. You don't really notice that there's no fans. The game is going. The game has been played very consistent, really well. Again, you had another war last night for the first 56 minutes and a half. Then all of a sudden, one power play, and then all hell broke loose. But you know, the better team won. There's no question about it.
The Knights have been the better team. But they, you know, the Canucks had the hot goalie. I mean, that guy was phenomenal.
100 saves in
a
row.
I mean, no one, you can't, you know, teams have won the Stanley Cup with a hot goalie. So
that's how it's done.
He was playing extremely well. I mean, incredible. So that you know, you could, in my opinion, the Knights were lucky to win that game.
You know, I
even
agree.
Though they outplayed them. He was in their heads for sure.
But, you know, looking at everything now, the reason they played football in 1918, initially they weren't going to play.
Yeah.
Then they decided to play. And the reason they weren't going to play at one point was because of World War One, and World War One was the reason they ended up playing. On September 28, 1918, Riley Shue played in the first college football game. 11 days later, the Miami, Ohio Guard died of the flu.
Right. Well, you know, that pandemic in the fall came back stronger than it was originally. And, you know, a lot of people died when winter came.
It killed 675,000 in the U.S.
Right.
It was especially fatal in 20 to 40-year-olds. Yet COVID infections have killed more than 180,000 this year. And the population of the United States is three times larger.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not trying to make an excuse. I'm just giving you some facts.
Right. Well, you know, there is a metric that...
And that's, you know what? Denise makes a point that we haven't really thought about. Better sanitation.
Right. We have way better sanitation.
And that's a big deal.
But there is a metric that most of the epidemiologists talk about, but hasn't been talked about in the media that much, and that's excess deaths. So the way to really know how many people died from COVID, or the only way you can sort of measure it, is taking the last like 5 to 10 years and taking average amount of deaths between a time period,
right?
And then seeing if this year is up or down. So through August 31st, and this isn't a complete list, because a lot of municipalities don't report their deaths in a timely manner. But the United States is up 13.5% in excess deaths through the first 28 weeks.
Excess deaths due to medical reasons, you mean, or just in general?
Just you take total deaths and you average it over the last 5 years. And this year, over the last five or ten, I forget how many years they do it for, but excess deaths are up 13.5%, which translates close to, the CDC says, close to 250,000. And they're saying COVID, you know, so they're reporting 180,000 COVID deaths, but excess deaths are closer to 250,000.
Here's a question I have for you.
Yeah.
What happens? I'm throwing this out at you. They're talking right now that the number of people dying from COVID is more like 4.6% of the 180,000. I'm not saying that's fact, but what happens if that's proven to be true? I'm not saying yes or no. I'm not saying that really. But let's say that was a lot of talk all week.
Pat,
what if that's true?
What?
They said there was a lot of stuff. There's a lot of rhetoric out there right now that the real number of people who died of COVID is about 4.6% of the actual number that they're reporting. You know, it's interesting. Tom Seaver passed away.
So they're reporting 180,000, but they're saying there's only like 10,000 deaths?
No. What they're saying is of the 180,000, 4.6% are from COVID. The other 100, the balance are not. I'm not saying that. What if that were true?
Well, that's why excess deaths makes the most sense. If you look at, there's an epidemiologist that I follow, Eric Fiegel-Ding. You can go on his Twitter, and he kind of explains it. And he's an epidemiologist at Harvard. He teaches at Harvard. And he was really the first one to sound the alarm about COVID in the first place. You know, you can see the excess deaths. It's up there. You know, the excess deaths are up 13% in the United States as they know right now. So through January 1st, you're not talking, you know, and you got to remember that's 8 months, and really, they weren't registering COVID deaths until March really, and you're just talking March through August. You're not talking a long period of time. But 4%. So you're saying that? I don't know where you got that.
No, it's all over the news. I've heard that all. I've heard that around all over the city.
Are you saying confirmed infection rates?
They're saying of the 180,000 deaths.
Yeah.
4.6% may really be related to COVID. Now I don't know what to believe.
There's two things. One is called the IFR, and one metric is called the CFR. Now, the IFR is the infection fatality rate. So it's really hard to know the infection fatality rate because you have, you don't really know how many people are infected. Because of testing and because 40% of people show no symptoms, you really don't know the infection rate. But then you have the confirmed fatality rate. So that is confirmed cases of COVID. So when you have, you know, people take a test, and it's confirmed the fatality rate is about 4%.
So Tom Seaver, dies this week, and right. He's been very, very sick with Parkinson's. No, dementia, excuse me. I forget the proper word for the dementia he had. And they said he died of dementia and COVID. Right. Now, I'm like, he died of COVID. I mean, they had to throw COVID in there, and I'm like, really? And I have to tell Bud Harrelson, one of my other heroes from back in the day, who couldn't hit the ball out of the infield but was a great baseball player, he also has the same dementia, and that's why and the Mets' 50th anniversary of the 1969 World Championship team, they were not there. And before that, Tom Seaver's family said he will not be making any more public appearances.
Right.
And they had a big – I watched. I mean, he is my ultimate hero. But the moral of the story is that blows your mind because, as a human being living in the United States, have faith in a system, and I'm the question I'm really asking you is – what if, I'm not saying it's true, but if the number they're projecting is inaccurate by 95%, what does that do to the American people? What does that do to the average person that understands this? I mean, how discouraged would you be?
Pat, I don't think that figure is anywhere.
Again, I'm not saying it's fact. What would your position be if it were just hypothetically?
Hypothetically?
Yes.
Well, I think that it would be. I'd have to say it was all made up.
How scary would that be if our country was lying to us like that?
Well, that would be really scary, you know? So who's lying? I mean, what?
That's what I'm saying. I mean, again, I that was my point.
What if point. It was Trump that was lying?
I don't think Trump is the one behind it. I would totally drop him like a bad habit.
You would? Okay.
Yes, I would. Because I'll tell you right now, you're playing with people's lives.
Right.
If you're lying about a pandemic, because, I mean, you shut down an economy, you do all these crazy things. And frankly, a lot of these kids that want to participate in sports are either, like, for example, in high schools right now, there are kids all over the country transferring out of their home school to play sports at a school where they can play and school is open around the country.
Right.
And there are obvious reasons. These kids are really good athletes and they want to transfer into, they want to go to play college for free and with the hope of playing pro ball. Mm-hmm. And when you look at colleges right now, there are a lot of college parents and kids or players that are bitching and moaning, hey man, we want to play,
right?
And we're leaving. And you know, you made a point in our earlier conversation that a lot of high school kids, and this is alarming because of the number, but it's not uncommon. A lot of kids that are supposed to be freshmen in high school this year are not going to school as freshmen. They're going to wait until next year so they can play one more year of eligibility in sports.
They're either repeating eighth grade or they're not in. They didn't register for school. I know a lot of them myself, and I've heard through the grapevine that I have a son entering his freshman year, who's in his freshman year of high school right now. He went online. He was looking forward to freshman football. It's not happening. But a lot of his friends are just sitting out. He was never going to be a. He just enjoys playing football. He's not going to be a college athlete, a college football player, I don't think. You never know.
Because kids grow and they have those growth spurts. You never know.
A lot of his friends think they are. They want it. They're going for a scholarship. So they're sitting out a year.
Well,
they're not. You know, I don't know what it's going to be like. Registration for ninth grade next year is going to be through the roof here in Las Vegas.
Well, you know, it's interesting because you know schools reap money based upon the headcount. And if the head counts are down, that's less money they're going to get.
Right.
The number here is 702-257-5396. We'll open up the phones. That's 257-5396. Here's some interesting facts. High schools can play football in Ohio. Two NFL teams are gearing up to play NFL football. Right. Even the University of Cincinnati can play. But Ohio State, the team around which the entire state evolves, is not going to have football.
Right.
It's a contradiction in the response to the most novel coronavirus facts, right? It's kind of weird, yet the game is the same on all levels. There's blocking, there's tackling, there's social distancing, and there's hugs, and everything's going crazy in high school. I mean, it gets emotional, and they can play in high school, but the colleges in the state of Ohio, except for Cincinnati, are shutting down. Now, the interesting point that I make is the MAC conference is closed, but the University of Cincinnati playing, they're going full steam ahead, and the purpose for that reason. A lot of these schools sense an opportunity to be seen, and people can say, "You know what? I didn't realize Cincinnati was such a good place to play sports. So I'm not going to go to Ohio State. Maybe I'm not good enough, but hell, I want to go to Cincinnati."
Right.
And that's one of the points that are out there. There's also another thing. The guy's name is Dr. Borshear. He's a former Buckeye. He declined to comment on the Big Ten decision or his high school or state specifically, but he did say this in general. That there are factors influencing high school decisions to play, such as low infection rates in the rural areas, fewer requirements on their participants or the participation, and they don't have the testing is not as extensive. Now, that's interesting to say in itself because that's the big reason where high schools do not have the money to do all the testing necessary, like the NFL, and for the most part, some of the colleges, although they make a ton of money, but you know, I'd like to know where that gets spent. It's kind of interesting because, how important do you see sports in as a whole to the average person? Not every. I mean, let's be honest. About 25% could care less, but for that 75% that want to watch sports, I mean,
I said this before the pandemic. I used to say sports is the only thing holding this country together. And it turns out I might be right because you see the country falling apart without sports. I mean, there is some sports now, but it's not like what we're used to. And you know, it's for some reason people have a lot of respect for sports. Win, lose, or draw. If you're a fan of a certain team, even if your team loses, people respect that you're a fan of that team. And it's just something that we have in common here in the United States. It's something that we can all relate to. It's something that we all look forward to. It's all something we get energized about. And we all know there's a winner and a loser, and that doesn't really matter in the end. It just matters that we root for our teams, we go tailgate, we have fun, we see people that that have the same kind of enthusiasm, we gamble, we have parties. It's all the experience that America's built itself on.
In 1918, Alabama and LSU were so depleted by the war effort that they already canceled their seasons.
Right.
Right? Now, check this out. Back in 1918, press censorship and wartime patriotism meant that the media were inclined to not fully report the ravages of the flu as a deadly second wave took off in the summer and fall of 1918, which was a critical final stage of the war. This was reported by a gentleman named Christopher McKnight Nichols, director of the Center for Humanities at Oregon State. It's kind of interesting because it's almost now it's different. Now the media wants this. I mean, COVID this, COVID that, COVID this. But yet the numbers comparison by 100 years ago, three times the population,
right.
One-third the deaths.
Well, it also killed a lot more people in the prime of their life.
20 to 40. Get this, though.
COVID affects
older people.
Older people.
Right. In 1918, the mighty team at the time was the Naval Station Great Lakes in North Chicago, and they had three players on that team. I think you might have heard of one. Remember George Halas?
Yeah.
Johnny Patty Driscoll, and then Jimmy Kozelman. They're all Pro Football Hall of Famers.
Right.
But when you think about it, and man, you know what? The world was a different place, and people looked at things with a different perspective. Right. We have a first caller today. It's JD, and he'd like to report to us regarding the CDC, what they said about COVID deaths.
Okay.
By all means, JD, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Pat. Can you hear me all right?
Yeah, we can. Can you hear us?
Okay. In regard to what you started off with the show, last Friday, the CDC put out a report that 9,700 people have legitimately died from COVID-19 only. This is a put out by Dr. Robert Redfield, who's ahead of that. It's an $11.1 billion annual budget, and they operate under the parent company of the United States Department of Health and Human Services. This did get too much press, but basically what he's saying is 10,000 people of the 180 died of purely the CV-19. They didn't die from a motorcycle accident and then go to the hospital and then get tagged with the CV-19 and also then get a $39,200 payment from the federal government to cover the cost of treatment of all the CV-19 patients. So this did not get reported. I think you could say Dr. Redfield is a respected guy. He's up there. He's in charge of $11 billion budget. He works under the Health and Human Services, and I want to ask you and your partner there, why do you think this has not gotten the media report that it should get? And if this is true and accurate, then this whole pandemic that we've been fed for the last 7 or 8 months is completely a farce that has ruined our economy.
Okay, so listen. Okay, that's enough. Listen. Pat and I have a friend, okay? I'll give you a good example. We have a common friend who passed away, okay?
July.
He was in not such great shape, but he wasn't going to die right away. He just wasn't.
He was in need of a kidney transplant.
But he got COVID, and he died. Was he going to die, soon? He was old. He was 75. On a Sunday, he was fine.
And on Wednesday, he was gone.
And on Wednesday, he was dead. He got diagnosed with COVID. Tuesday night, he had double pneumonia and organ failure. He was dead on Wednesday morning. When you talk about strict deaths from COVID where there's no other, they tell you if you have, pre-existing conditions, COVID is going to get you. That's what happens. You're talking about apples and oranges.
No, comorbidity. It's comorbidity.
I don't want to hear conspiracy theories. It's not.
It doesn't do anybody good.
Yes, you are. You're talking conspiracy theories, and you don't know what you're talking about. You're talking.
Hey, go to your corners. Relax.
People that didn't have any other conditions and they died just of COVID. The only cause.
The rest of the people that died had 2.6 other morbid diseases. on top of Corbett. That had COVID-19. That's why they died.
J.D., I appreciate your time and your call. We're getting close to a break anyway. Thank you. Let me just touch on this with you, Dean, and I'll say this. And this is one thing that people it's obviously very true. It has if you have some immune deficiencies,
right,
you are definitely susceptible to dying. I mean, if you're sick,
right. And, then,
that's where it does attack.
These numbers aren't a hoax.
I'm going to bring up a point to you.
Go talk to any ER doctor. Bring an ER doc. Go, you know, JD, go talk to an ER doctor.
Well, hold on. I'm going to tell you something right now. I got, because this happened to a client of mine this 3 months ago, or 6 weeks ago, I should say. He had a heart attack and died in Colorado.
Right.
He died of a heart attack. And on his death certificate, they put COVID. When his wife threatened to sue, the coroner's office took the COVID off. Now, why? Now, I'm going to tell you. They're making tons of money on this deal, and that's my issue with that. I understood where JD was going, but
listen, that's why most of the epidemiologists report on like to use the excess deaths, and excess deaths are up 13.5%. So how do you explain that? You know,
crime has been up, murders have been up. I mean, this goes back to our point. This brings us back to our point. You know, for 6 months, maybe seven, we have been in a total shutdown, and children have been abused. Alcoholism has been abused.
Listen, I'm discussing the validity of COVID here.
I'm not talking COVID. This has nothing to do with the economy. You're not giving me a chance to finish my point. Right. Please give me a chance. I'm not arguing.
But you're changing.
No, I'm not. I'm going talking sports. So because of what happened, and everybody was idle, idle hands being the devil's workshop. Now you're not doing anything, sitting around. I'm sitting there saying, this is why, to me, for the most part, sports is such an important factor in American life. I mean, this is where people get to watch the game. They're more active. They're doing things. Their kids are performing. We had this conversation before. I mean, shutting down Little League to me was absolutely absurd. Yeah. Kids not going out playing sports in this summer. Now, you know what a lot of kids in Las Vegas that are baseball players have been doing? They're going to Utah to play.
Right.
How important is it for us to get some of these sports games back where maybe it gets a sense of normalcy back in the people? That's my point.
Right. So let me just – I don't know if we have time for this, but we can finish it after the break if we don't. But – If you watch Hard Knocks, here's what we're dealing with. I don't know how many people watch Hard Knocks, but on Hard Knocks, there's an offensive lineman for the Rams named Andrew Wentworth, right? He's the oldest offensive lineman in the NFL. And his whole family contracted COVID in April, May, I forget when he said. So him, his wife, his four kids, his nanny, and his mother-in-law and his father-in-law. Now, his kids had very little wrong. 40% of people have no symptoms, and mostly kids have no symptoms. Him and his wife apparently lost their sense of taste and smell and had, you know, flu-like symptoms. And his mother-in-law, I guess, had the same. But his father-in-law wound up in the hospital for 5 days. His father-in-law, his wife's name is Melissa, I believe, and Melissa's father wound up in the hospital for 5 days, and for a couple of days they said it was touch and go, and you know they weren't sure if he was going to go the way of, you know, making it or not making it, and so that's basically what you're dealing with. You know, you get a family, and there's you know, 8-9 people that got COVID, and one wound up in the hospital. So is it worth it? Is that because that's basically what we're dealing with? That's what we're looking at. It spreads at such a high rate, and some people do wind up in the hospital.
Yeah, I agree. And I'll tell you what, I have my mom, who's 84 years old, who lives in my house, works for me.
Right.
And I have to be honest, there are things I'm going to do to prevent bringing home the illness, because how would I forgive myself if I impacted my mother's life? Right. We'll be right back. Listen, we're going to go to a quick break. We come back. We'll pick it up right where we left off. This is Common Ground.
It's the big weekend and time for the Valley Auto Mall annual Labor Day sale. Receive free first-year registration on the purchase or lease of any new vehicle with absolutely no caps and no limits. None. And that's in addition to our great Labor Day sale prices at all 19 dealerships. Receive free first-year registration this weekend only. The original Valley Auto Mall annual Labor Day sale. Thursday, September 3rd through Monday, September 7th. There's nothing like the original. Valley Auto Mall, biggest one of all.
Are you spending too much time managing your investment property? For only $75 a month, let Monarch Property Management take the worry away by providing you with full-service property management. When the eviction moratorium ends, are you ready to fight for your money? Call Monarch now for only $75 a month. Yes, only $75 a month. Call Marcella Cazada, 702-412-7189. 702-412-7189.
Hi, guys. It's Andrew with Boost Medical Clinic. Are you struggling with erectile dysfunction? Well, I have great news. There is finally a treatment for ED that does not require medication, injections, or surgery. You heard that right. No more pills. We use the most advanced form of acoustic wave therapy, clinically shown to open up and regrow blood vessels. We can finally restore normal and natural function in the bedroom.
Hi, my name is Rich, and I'm an actual patient. I struggled with ED for years. I started treatments recently, and not only am I astonished, but my significant other is thrilled with the results. Thank you for giving me my life back.
If you're struggling with ED, call us right now. We'll give you the assessment, exam, even the blood flow ultrasound totally free. That's a $250 value. Additionally, come in and take our treatments and we'll give you a special gift that produces instant results in the bedroom. But you must call now to qualify. The number is 702-710-5000. That's 702-710-5000. Put a stop to your erectile dysfunction. Call Boost Medical Clinic right now to claim that offer. 702-710-5000.
In today's market, we think there are a lot of financial risks for anyone who is over 50, retired, or retiring soon. Hi, I'm Ken Murray, founder of Retirement Planners of America. We want to give you a free consultation for investing during these uncertain times. You will receive Social Security strategies, tax-saving strategies, and investment strategies, all at no charge or obligation. Protect your financial future.
Call 800-375-1159. That's 800-375-1159.
On the battlefield, there's a saying America's military men and women live by. Never leave a fallen warrior behind, ever. Off the battlefield, Wounded Warrior Project operates with the same goal. Wounded Warrior Project was created to help our men and women returning home with the scars of war, whether those scars are physical or mental. Wounded Warrior Project, we never leave a fallen warrior behind, ever. Learn more about what we do at woundedwarriorproject.org.
Welcome back to another segment of Common Ground. The question I have for you, the callers, is so how important is it that they play games, the sports? The NBA and the NHL seem to have really done a great job because the teams are locked in to the same area, so they're not playing all over the place. And now the NHL, after tonight's game between the Islanders and the Flyers, will all be playing in one arena, back-to-back series. I mean, you got to admit that's worked out really well. It's self-contained, and my Islanders are about 14 minutes away from advancing to the furthest they have since 1983. But we won't go there. But the moral of the story is this is a big deal. What do you think, Dean?
Well, you know, I think the pros are setting a good model for how they can do it. You know, as far as youth sports, it's a little tough because if kids. You can see on these colleges they're reporting massive cases of COVID, and if the kids, they're not really in danger, but when they bring it home to their parents and their grandparents, especially, you know, older people, they're putting them in danger. So how do we feel about that? I mean, I think the Andrew Wentworth story, which appeared on Hard Knocks, is something that we all have to look at.
Well, how about The Rock? His whole family.
His whole family got it too, but I don't think they spread it to anybody
older.
They're
asymptomatic, but you know, it's interesting to find who the common person was who infected
right.
that family. But I got to tell you something. I think that if you do things right, I mean, I honestly think it's time. I think schools should be open, or they should be at your discretion. Right. If you can play blackjack in a casino.
I can't argue with that.
If you can go to a casino and play blackjack in the way they have all these glass settings up, why can't they set up the schools similar So the teachers are protected, and the students can interact. Now, some people could do their schoolwork via internet if they choose. But again, I think there should be options. I also believe in my heart.
Most people believe there should be an option.
Right, and that's what I'm saying. But I also think that, you know, we're robbing our youth of the opportunity to participate. A lot of these young men and even women playing sports, they, like, for example, the Olympic athletes, they're not going to have an opportunity to participate to get themselves better. I mean, are we going to cancel the Olympics?
Well, they did cancel the Olympics.
But I mean, for how long? I mean, what happens to those athletes? Now their time has come and gone.
Right.
So you look at college football players, and let's be honest, a small percentage are going to make it to the high level, the NFL. But be that as it may, these kids, you're getting an education for free to some degree, and they're trying to get an opportunity to get that eye at a tiger, get a shot at the big time. Right. I mean, you're talking big money. And to me, it's amazing. I mean, if you look at where we're at, they can play football in 1918, but we can't play in 2020. It's almost hard to imagine.
Pat, everyone knows the pros and cons, and everyone would love it if everyone could play. But, you know, can you put your 83-year-old mom at risk? That's the question. I mean, can you rationalize that when push comes to shove? And so, you know, if you're playing a contact sport, outside is better than inside. So football's probably better than a lot of the sports that are indoors. But at the same time, if there's an outbreak and kids spread it to each other and, you know, the coaches get it, and maybe they're not going to get sick, but if they bring it home and their grandmother gets sick and dies, can you rationalize that? That's the question. That's what, you know, that's what people are talking about. That's what you know, a lot of people feel. And then if you're, you know, you might be a 60-year-old coach I know a lot of 60-year-old overweight coaches with diabetes, type 2 diabetes.
Well, there was a local baseball coach here in town. I forget the school. I'm sorry. I forget who just died. I don't know if it was COVID related, but he just died. Again,
so, you know, the percentages of people that die are going to be small comparatively to, you know, the people that live. But can you rationalize that? Is that okay? That's the question. There's no other question, really. It's, you know, in the beginning of the pandemic, when New York was hit so hard, people were worried about hospitals being overflowing. And if hospitals were overflowing, that would be really bad for everybody. Because if hospitals are overflowing and you have a burst appendix and you need a 10-minute operation to get your appendix out, or you have appendicitis and it hasn't burst yet, I should say, and you can't get it and you allow it to burst, that's really bad.
How about this?
Then you're talking about, you know, a whole other level of trauma.
Wait, how about this? Did you know that insurance companies this year, in the last couple of months, gave people a premium credit towards their insurance because they're not able to go into the doctor's offices? That's a fact. That's a fact. And you know what else? You did. Your policy got a little bit of a credit.
Yeah.
And you know what? That's because you're getting access to a doctor. Now, I personally need to get a physical again. I mean, it's been a little longer than normal because of this COVID. I was supposed to get beginning of the year, and I can't get into the doctor. Now, it's kind of scary. And at the same time, you know, like my wife 2 weeks ago had to go to the hospital because she had a stone. And, dude, I got to drop her off at the ER, and I can't go in there with her. And her doctor said, why did they keep you?
Right.
I mean, you know what? They kept her. I can't see her until she gets out. This is how bad this is becoming.
Right. Well, you know, doctors and nurses don't want to get infected. I mean, that's what it comes down to. They're trying to stay healthy. So, and it's at the, you know, in this case, it's, you know, the patients suffer because they can't see their loved ones. I mean, these are all things that people are trying to come to grips with and trying to figure out. So how do we figure it out? What do we do? I mean, we've been talking about the economy versus deaths for a while, you know, COVID cases and deaths for a while.
How can a governor Governor DeWine in the state of Ohio, who shut down actions in early March, helped push the NCAA to cancel March Madness, gave the go-ahead on August 18th to contact sports in high school, yet you got all the colleges shutting down. I mean, how does that make sense?
I don't know. I don't know how a lot of this makes sense. So
what do you
do? I know the people are antsy. People are antsy. They want to get out. People are willing. Who was it? The quarterback for the Minnesota Vikings. What's his name again?
Kirk Cousins.
Kirk Cousins. So he went on an interview
and got eaten alive the next day.
Well, I saw him, and he said, I'm just willing to accept the consequences of what happens if I get COVID. If I give it to someone, if I die myself, if I give it to someone who dies. He just said, that's just my attitude. He goes, I respect people that want me to wear a mask, so I'll wear a mask around people. But my attitude is I'm willing to accept the consequences. If that's God's will, that's God's will. I know there's a lot of people that feel that way.
Well,
a lot of people feel that way.
But here's go back to my point, though. How important should we not play sports? Or should we? That is the question.
It's a very, very difficult choice. And I think that the way the professional sports leagues are doing it are fine. I think they're comfortable with it. I think all the players are comfortable with it. It sucks to not have fans. But when you get down,
the NFL is right now, we're looking at only a couple of games.
Right. And I think college sports could do the same thing with no fans.
But here's, you know, let's talk about that point as well. You look at the size of these venues.
Right.
For example, the Big House.
Right.
100,000 plus.
Right, I know.
Why not just have let 30,000 people come in? You can possibly space them out, and you could.
It's still a risk, but you could.
And I got to tell you something. You're outside, which is a lot better for you than
outside
being inside.
Is safer than inside. There's
no
question.
And so why not just do that? But again, this is me talking, and I will, like I've told you on the phone earlier. I personally wouldn't take a chance. But if you don't live at home, you're living at the dorm. Why would you not be able to allow the participation in sports? I mean, why aren't, you know, we're going to have a caller. We're going to have a couple of callers in a second here. And one of the points he makes, why aren't Walmart workers dying? Was a great point. By the way, did you see the thing about church? So there was a church that went to their local Walmart. It was on the news somewhere. I don't have the story here, where they all went to the Walmart and they did their service in the Walmart. And they were singing and everything. And I thought to myself, now that was genius. But let's go to Brian and let's ask him that. So, Brian, your point is, why aren't Walmart workers dying?
Well, you know, I got to talk about JD for just a second. In defense of JD, I think, JD, you and Dean were both basically saying the same thing. And that is this, that there are other underlying circumstances, extenuating circumstances, like your friend who died. Those are the people who are dying. And it was the CDC who put those figures out last Friday. When they usually dump stuff they don't want to get in the news throughout the weekend, they dump it on Friday afternoon. 94% of the deaths from COVID virus have extenuating circumstances. Only 6% of those deaths were from the COVID virus alone.
Right.
So back to my point now. I go to Walmart
JD
maybe once every 2 weeks. I've been doing it since March. I am 70 years old, and I see the same people when I go there every week. I talk to them. I ask them. I have not heard of any massive outbreak of the disease among Walmart workers or Target workers or the Dollar Tree or any other store, and yet they're coming in contact with hundreds of people every day. They're handling all of their merchandise, which these people have handled. They're taking the money. They're checking people out. And if this thing is that scary, there's something wrong with this picture.
Well,
and what I would like to say is what we need to do is we need to lock down and isolate the vulnerable part of our population and let the rest of the people get back to work, get back to school. And then when they come in contact with grandma and grandpa, you take precautions. You wear your mask. You wear your gloves.
Right. Well, a lot of people feel that way. And you got to understand it. When you go to Walmart or any store, for that matter, they're pretty cautious. People stay safe. Whenever I go to the store, people are always really cautious and stay 6 feet away from each other.
Well, you must be going to a different store than I do.
Oh, really?
That's not happened at Walmart.
Really?
Because
I go to the store, it's pretty good. They wash everything down.
That they do.
Everyone's wearing a mask. I mean, people are pretty cautious.
But you know what's funny, Dean? What you just said, and Denise and I were talking about this before the show, it's amazing that we live in a new generation of 2020 and people are being told, you need to wash your hands.
Yeah.
You know the best thing that's happened in supermarkets?
What?
They wipe down the belt before other groceries come on there. Because I've always said that was the grossest thing I ever saw because of me. But I'll tell you what's interesting, too. By the third week in October, Michigan's team started to play football. They were packing stadiums again.
Yeah.
But you know the players were wearing masks during that time.
Right.
With a piece of gauze fastened around their mouth. Go right ahead.
You brought up 13% more excess deaths percentage-wise. Right. I'd like to know what the number of excess deaths are for those 5 years you brought up.
You can go on the CDC website and look it up. They have it. They have everything. You can do it by they break it down by state even. So if you go on the CDC website, you can go to I'll find it for you and try and
okay.
Brian, I appreciate the call.
Go on the CDC website. They, you know what? You can look up an epidemiologist on Twitter named Eric Fiegel, Ding, D-I-N-G, and he has everything on there.
And if you go to the CDC, you'll see that 94% and that 6%.
Well, here's where JD said there's only 9,000 COVID deaths.
Now it's based on the percentage, though. That was based on that number.
You ask him. He's saying, "Oh, there's only 9,000."
I think he's going by that number.
That's what it would be?
Yeah, but he doesn't understand that. He didn't get that, and that's why it infuriated me. I don't know what the actual numbers. I don't think anybody does. But if it is, if they can only pinpoint COVID to 4%, and they can't say somebody else said, "Oh, this guy had type 2 diabetes," this guy had something else, you know, whatever, kidney disease and heart disease, and all the other various.
One other thing: how come when these public officials that are declaring that you've got to wear your mask, like Nancy Pelosi this week, like our governor who was out to dinner,
who was singing,
where there's not supposed to be entertainment, live entertainment, there he is with his girlfriend,
his wife.
Five feet away from the band.
Nancy Pelosi, there's no excuse for her. I'm not going to defend her. Okay. I think she should resign. I think you have to hold yourself to a standard, especially if you're going to create that standard to begin with. You've got to hold yourself to it, and that goes for everyone.
I agree with that.
I personally think Nancy Pelosi should resign. A lot of people disagree with me, but I just think that if you're going to hold somebody to a standard, you should be held to that standard yourself, and that goes for anyone, any politician. And there's a lot of politicians that don't do that. So
one more quick thing,
Dollar Tree. When you go, but Sisolak, he's out to dinner. People take their masks off to eat at restaurants.
Yeah, but you'll notice he didn't have any masks anywhere on the table or anything like that, and nobody around them had any masks. The people that were in the band didn't have any masks on.
Right, but I walked into a restaurant. Everyone takes their mask off to eat, and I tell you what,
I've been there.
Brian and Dean, I will tell you this, and Brian, thank you for the call. We'll catch you next week. Let me say this: when I look at the rules, the hypocrisy of the rules, when you go in a casino, and you got people taking off their masks to smoke.
I know.
Drink. The best I ever saw was about 2 months ago. There's a lady wearing oxygen. The greatest I ever. This is the freaking. I freaked out. She has a slit in her mask and she's smoking. And I'm thinking, please. I mean, what in the hell is going on? Again, this is what's going on in the world. And it's just, that's crazy. I will sit here and say this. Taking into consideration everything you've said, again, with family or whatever, I do believe we should let these teams play. I do believe there should be some, they should have a certain amount of fans in an outdoor arena. I mean, I watched the Kentucky Derby today. They probably had 1,500 people there because of the owners and stuff. I mean, again, they were originally going to have 20,000, 24,000.
Well, the Derby, they have 100,000normally, right?
I mean, for this time around. Yeah. I thought Saratoga could have opened up and had allowed 15,000, 18,000 a day. That the revenue stream and the people that rely on these jobs, it's an annual job.
Right.
It's not like it's where they make all their money. We might have been able to salvage something. When you look at these businesses that have around by boardwalks or by beaches, it's pretty very difficult for me to see. You're screwed. This whole thing and the reason I look at and the topic today about sports is that it does galvanize the people. It brings them together, and it's interesting. We got a caller. We have Will on the phone, line two. Hey, Will, welcome to the show. Are you there?
Thank you for the welcoming. Am I interrupting anything here?
No, you're not. We're taking callers. We got another caller on hold right now. Go ahead.
All right, well, look, I hate to admonish you, but I thought we were going to talk about a rejuvenation or an evolution or a readjustment or what you call common ground, which we've heard for years. I thought we were going to talk about a complex society that needed to get past our differences.
And that's what this is about, though, Will. I mean, let's be honest. Right now, the sports is just kicking off right now, and it's all over the news. And I thought it was a great topic and timing. And you know what? People want to see live sports. They want to participate.
Now, hold on. You've been talking sports for what? How much airtime do you have for talking? What, 40 minutes at the most?
I got an hour.
We have 50 minutes, I think, we talked.
Yeah, max, I think. That's your max. The first thing you do is just structure your show so we can participate and have a subject matter. But if I might, real quick, and by the way, even though I have a stern tone in my voice, I still respect greatly what the two of you I thought were going to attempt to do. So let me give you my disposition so you'll understand the tone. I've been around talk radio for many, 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 many years, gentlemen, and never in my lifetime have I ever seen jock talk or sports talk mixed with intelligent political discussion. Never, ever in my life.
Well, we're setting a new trend.
So are you? Are we intelligent or not intelligent? That's the question.
Now, hold on. I've only heard one in all these years, and that's one local. And that one is the most abusive, insulting. It's just disgusting.
Hold on here. Don't compare that show to ours. But let me just say this. You brought up a point, and I want to identify one thing, Will. The only reason we're talking sports right now the way we are is because the season just kicked off, and you got a state like Ohio that's going to let high school kids play, but all the colleges are shut down, right? Except Cincinnati. You have the NFL playing. It just happened in the Wall Street Journal. They talked about the 1918-1919 epidemic, so I thought this would be a good topic.
No, I know you did, Pat, and I respect you. You and I have had contentious, manly discussions about certain issues. I'm calling your show out of respect for you, and I'm getting no Dean. But the point is, there's nothing in sports. I mean, there's just nothing there. But I don't want to get there because I have family who all they do is bet sports. But there's nothing there. I mean, there's no intellect. But setting that aside, okay? I thought we were going to, first of all, you have to prioritize. Our society is complex, interwoven. It's like if you ever watch a piece of safety glass breaks, it breaks into a multitude of pieces. And if you don't watch these discussions, they just go all over the board, okay? And I thought we were going to prioritize, so I came prepared to make a suggestion for the priority, only to hear jock talk for like 30 minutes there, okay?
Well, it's not really, okay?
All right, well, what's your suggestion?
Yeah, because I got three other callers waiting, so make it quick.
Give us your suggestion. I want to hear it.
Yeah, I'm ashamed of myself. I haven't used my time to bitch about stuff. So, well, here's what I think we need to do. We need to address public employee unions. We need to start with all public employees. And there should be no public employee unions. Everybody should turn in their resignation. We should go to a flat hourly wage. And you cannot hold that job more than 7 years. Not only that, but we need to simplify exactly what the role of government is. They're coming into divorce actions. They're coming into motorcycle gear. They're coming in. I've never seen like this. The government is out of control. They have lost the mission.
So oh, really?
We need to deal with all public employees. If you're drawing down public employee money, you're a public employee. We need to address what that role is. And the other thing I think we need, because remember now, many of these pieces are interconnected. They're complex. The other thing is that you need an ID to vote. If you don't have an ID, you're damn well not going to vote.
All right, Will. And I love you. We'll take this to the next level at another time. But that's not our topic today. And I appreciate you very much. And I like what you're saying. Well, and Dean and I will definitely be discussing it. But I got other callers. But next time we'll go further. But we're talking about this right now. And here's what I think. And I just think when this next conversation will be with Mary, and she's going to talk about something that I just heard they're using. And that's like ozonation. That may not be the proper way of saying it. Mary, welcome to the show.
Hi, guys.
Hi, Mary.
Okay, you got to call me.
Well, we finally got our equipment together. Go ahead. I got another caller, so go ahead.
All right, but anyway, yeah, the RTC right now, they're ozonating the buses, okay?
And it works.
And also doing negative ions, all right? And I've been screaming about this. As a solution, it's very cheap and inexpensive to ozonate an entire building. It's just a matter of connecting, a few wires differently. All right. And then you've got the air filtration system And this will clean up all the pathogens. I mean, I remember 30 years ago when I was talking to a...
So, Mary, I have a question for you.
Installing.
Everything you're saying, I agree with. So do you think that if they did we could allow attendance to sporting events?
That's right. We can ozonate the sporting events, and this eliminates the need for masks and cleaning everything. I mean, I know they're making a lot of money on hand sanitizers now, okay, but... It really isn't necessary. Ozonating and pumping the air with oxygen and negative ions, it gets rid of all pathogens, and it's not going to hurt anybody. It's going to get rid of any flu that's around or any bacteria.
I like your idea, and I'll let Dean answer with you off the air because we want to take another caller, but thank you so much. Yeah. Take care, Mary. You'll be talking to us. I got your number. I didn't lose it, I promise. You take care.
Sounds not at Hotmail, though.
Take care. Okay. So, Dean, what's your thought about what she just said?
Well, I don't believe that it's proven that it effectively removes viruses, bacteria, and mold. Until it's proven in a more scientific manner, I'll leave that for later. I'd have to do a little more research on it, but what I've seen preliminary is that no. You know, ozone generators in occupied spaces do not remove.
What about the UV disinfection, UV light, UV rays? What's your thought about that?
I've heard some positive things about that, and that might be a possibility. But I don't think anything's come to the forefront as saying this is definitive. So we're going to have to wait a little while for some of these remedies.
Okay, and we had another caller. We got your friend Cassius. Good morning, Cat. Good afternoon. I did say good morning. Good evening, Cassius. How are you, my friend?
Fine. How are you?
Pretty good.
Okay, I can politicize sports.
That's what I want you to do.
Okay, I want to ask you, Patrick, a question, and the same question to your friend Dean.
Okay. Thank you.
What is your opinion about the politicization of sports, in as much as most professional sports, whether it's the NBA, baseball, football, basketball? Most of the professional players are making political statements or making a stand in terms of advocacy. 99% of it is pro-left and anti-American. What's your opinion about that?
I'll be honest. I think it's absolute crap. Mm-hmm. They should play the games, and that's their job. They're sportsmen. If they want to get political, write out the checks and start paying for your opinion. That's my opinion. Now, I'll say this also before Ladin chime in. I honestly believe when you look at some of the what the NBA just did regarding the Kenosha, you're defending an ass. This guy was an ass. This guy's a bad guy. And it turns out that in my opinion, what happened at Kenosha was media jerking us around. And I thought what the sports teams did was stupid. It didn't help the cause. It hurt the cause. I think the NBA ratings being so far down reflects the cause. Dean, we have 2 minutes. I'll let you go, Dean.
All right, so my opinion is that I don't really care. I just want to watch football. I like to watch football. I don't watch most of the sports. I watch the playoffs, but I watch football religiously, and I could care less what the players say or do. I mean, as long as they're respectful and they're not hurting anybody, it doesn't bother me at all. I don't know why. I don't even understand. It's just my opinion. I don't understand why it bothers so many people. Listen, I don't go into work every day and play the national anthem when I start work, nor do you probably, most people don't. So at a sporting event, it's tradition to play the national anthem. I believe that, they have the right to kneel just like they have the right to not kneel. I mean, that's what every single person in this country has a parent, if they weren't in the military themselves, has a parent, a grandparent, a brother, a sister who's been in the military, who fought.
Yeah, you know what, Cassius, I got 20 seconds. Okay, I'll give you your time because we're almost done. Go ahead. Okay, please respond.
The fact that you have no problem with it and watch it and give these professional games ratings means that you support it and you support their view, which I find abhorrent.
I found your view abhorrent. I think that I don't understand it at all. You can't.
Don't argue.
There's two sides to a story, Cassius, and you're not the smartest guy in the room. Trust me.
Believe me, you are neither.
Hey, Cassius, thank you for the call. I got to go. By the way, Dean, we got to go. It was a good show. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll back next week, 6 to 7, Common Ground. I wish you all to have a great weekend. Stay healthy out there and social distance.